Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live in Osh Vegas, I guess we're calling this.
Are you sure?
I had to think for a minute. Where the hell am I? It's a brand new environment for me, Don. We're in the air support, 98.3 and 1100 AM WISS studios on the corner of 6th and Main. And, you know, it's our first time broadcasting here, and I'm staring out, and I'd love to know why Al Brulé, you know, probably the French pronunciation.
Oui.
Out here on the, you know, the Fox River, why that guy has a memorial park.
What did he do to get a park? Crudy wants a park.
Would like to think when I'm dead and buried somewhere, you know, perhaps under the studio eventually, Jimmy Hoffa style, I'd like to think someone would put a sign up in a park, whether or not they paid the memorial
money. Crudy, if nothing else, man, I'm pretty sure we can get a porta potty named after you.
You don't think that's a big stretch? I do have dreams.
A man's got a dream.
Dominic, in this big hour, I dream of having a fine guest join me here in the Oshkosh studio, not named Dominic. Rick Smith is joining us here in the studio. Rick Smith of the Rick Smith Show. And if you're a fan of civic media, you know Rick Smith because he plays out 8 to 10 p.m. right here, Central Time. Rick comes from Pennsylvania. He's been in the state of Wisconsin. He's been doing a little tour, Dom. And anyways, he's also in town for the Candidate Forum, the Main Street Alliance Candidate Forum, happening in Oshkosh about 6:30 this evening. But Dom, wanted to turn our attention to President Joe Biden, and Biden has definitely turned his attention to the midterms, talking about, you know, voting and all that kind of stuff. Evan, going to need your help, if you'd be so kind, back in the world headquarters in Madison. Evan, play President Joe Biden, cut 10, beating the tide, roll tide.
Whether we maintain control of the Senate and the House is a big deal. And so far, we're running against the tide, and we're beating the tide.
Crossing my fingers, Joe.
Are we beating? I hope that. God, we're beating the tide. More of President Joe Biden. You know, I'd like to hear a little more enthusiast, like you believe we're beating the tide, Joe. More from Joe Biden. Cut 11, please, Evan.
Democrats are building a better America for everyone, with an economy that grows from the bottom up and the middle out, where everyone does well. Republicans are doubling down on their mega trickle-down economics that benefits the very wealthy, failed the country before, and will fail it again if they would.
Dominic, I would say under the Trump presidency, I certainly grew from the middle out.
that you did. And does trickle-down economics work? Does it work?
Anyone? Bueller?
Anyone? No, it does not work. And this is, what are the Republicans offering other than not being Democratic?
Crime.
Crime? But, okay, so
your candidate's black.
Oh, okay, they must have one or two. But what about crime? I mean, what is their solution? Build more prisons?
Lock them up.
Lock them up. That's it.
As far as I can tell.
We're going to lock up more people. We're going to make more laws. We're going to lock up more people because that's what we do in this country. A little bit more from President Joe Biden today. Of course, Social Security and Medicare are very important. We've heard Republicans talking about gutting it. Let's hear what President Biden had to say. Cut number 12, please, Evan.
Democrats are going to protect Social Security and Medicare. Republicans have been very clear. They've stated boldly that they want to cut Social Security and Medicare.
Yeah, and they'll use the debt ceiling limit fight to do it. We cannot let that happen. And of course, it's easy for these Republicans, rich Republicans, Social Security, Medicare, you don't need that. We need to provide more tax breaks for our wealthy donors. They're not living on it like so many other people are. One more from President Biden. Cut 13, please, Evan.
Republicans have been very clear. They've stated boldly that they want to cut Social Security and Medicare. And to the point that they'll shut down the government, they say, and send the nation into default, which raises prices for everyone if we do not cut Social Security and Medicare. I ain't going to do it.
He ain't going to do it.
We'll talk more about this topic, but Dom, we've got a sighting. I have the whereabouts of U.S. Senator Ron Johnson at this moment from a very reliable source.
Uh-oh.
Civic Media's own Chad Holmes tells me and sends me photographic verification that Ron Johnson is at a candidate forum in Warsaw right now, up in WXCO.
He's in Wausau. Okay.
He's up in Wausau, apparently, on the stump for 7th Congressional District candidate. Who's that? Toxic Tom? Tiffany?
Ugh.
And then the 29th Senate candidate and the 85th Assembly candidate, but Rojo ain't in his hometown. He's up darkening Wausau's doorstep. But anyways, back to the headlines. Ron Johnson, he'd cut your Medicaid and Social Security down.
Oh, he will.
And your Medicare and every other social safety net. Jennifer Rubin, one-time conservative columnist over at the Washington Post, damned the headline on her opinion piece. Democrats have a strong closing argument. The GOP would wreck the economy. Again, they've got
a
history.
They do have a history.
Dominic, voters who follow the news closely will likely find it hard to believe that so many fellow Americans would even consider casting ballots for election deniers and Republicans who betrayed democracy.
Can we just stop right there for a moment? I know we're going to get into some economic issues, but I am so dialed into this particular comment. I've seen some of the social media, some tweets out there of people getting interviewed about, you know, what they think about the current state of politics. Hell, even some friends of mine, you know, independent Republican, conservative type leaning, oh, I don't know, you know, all politicians this, and they both do that. And I think to myself, are you freaking kidding me? Do you not understand? Do you not know what these people have been doing, what they've tried to do? Have you not watched any of the hearings? Oh, no, not really. I mean, so there's a willful ignorance to so many, many of these Republicans.
Dominic has it written here in the Rubin column, but low information buddies of Dominic's, Americans are the ones who will decide the midterm elections. Therefore, President Biden and his fellow Democrats must think carefully about their closing argument to win over these people. Biden and the Democrats should follow the lead of House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, whose messaging is designed to benefit members from all over the country in competitive races. Here's how she, Pelosi, described the choice voters in an interview with the MSNBC on Tuesday. I'll quote, Tom. We want to support and strengthen Medicare, Social Security, etc. Republicans want to use the debt ceiling to cut that. Pelosi also noted that Republicans are willing to use the same tactic to reverse the Inflation Reduction Act's provisions to lower prescription drug costs. What did Ron Johnson say? I've always been down for big pharma. If we cut their profits, they won't do any research or development.
What, of course, is a total crock.
Of course it is. A little bit more from the Rubin article, the opinion piece. That's a real threat. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, Republican from California, has threatened to use the looming deadline to raise the debt limit next year as a means to cut off aid to Ukraine and roll back Biden's economic agenda. House Republicans are also eyeing the debt limit deadline as a way to make cuts to hugely popular programs. Looking at you, Rojo, such as Social Security and Medicare. At the same time, they're seeking to extend President Donald Trump's tax cuts. Well, they were Trump's and Ron Johnson, yours too, right, Crudy?
Kurti, this is more trickle-down economics designed to make the rich richer, which would balloon the national debt and worsen inflation, writes Jennifer Rubin. As such, Democrats should describe the election for what it is, a face-off between supply-side economics and Biden's promise to build an economy from the bottom up and middle out. This would contrast the two parties as one for the little guy and one for the billionaires, which has worked in the past to elect Biden and before him Barack Obama and Bill Clinton. Republicans like to label just about anything that doesn't benefit the rich as socialism. That's plutocratic economics, not populism. Highlighting the GOP's core philosophy just might help Democrats retain support among Republican voters who crossed over in 2020 with low-information voters who are suspicious of big oil, big pharma, and big business generally. Yeah. In that regard, Democrats can ding Republicans for opposing or resisting virtually everything Biden proposed that didn't help the rich, such as protections against evictions during the pandemic, money to keep first responders working, extended health care for sick veterans, measures to control prescription drug costs for seniors, and funding to create jobs in green energy, chip manufacturing, and infrastructure. Here's the message. If you got help, Mr. and Mrs. Average Voter, Republicans want to take it away. If you're rich, Republicans are going to make you even richer. And if Democrats don't go along with Republicans' reverse Robin Hood policies, they're willing to burn down the economy with a default or paralyze the government to get their way. Well, we know that's the mentality. They'll do anything to try to get their way. Look at the January 6th insurrection. That's me talking here. Not
really. I know it is. I know it is.
That's the GOP inflation quote-unquote plan. Biden would be wise to use his name in the next few weeks, highlighting it, making clear to working and middle-class voters that Republicans' idea of progress entails widening the gap between the rich and the poor. He started down that road on Friday when he bashed Republicans for threatening to crash the economy unless entitlements are cut and the wealthy can keep their massive tax cuts. And at a Thursday fundraiser for John Fetterman, Biden again made the case, quote, "The threat came from McCarthy, the Republican leader, that if I were not willing to cut Social Security by the end of this year, then in fact they would not pay for the national debt and they would not extend the debt ceiling, meaning for the first time in American history, we would in fact default on our debt and our credit as a nation would be demolished." So yes, while protecting democracy is an essential issue for those who rightfully fear the GOP's assault on democratic institutions and values, Democrats must win over late deciding voters too. And there's nothing like a reminder that the economy could get a lot worse as Republicans revert to cutting taxes for the rich and starving government to motivate Americans to vote Democratic. Biden needs to keep that drumbeat going through Election Day. So says Jennifer Rubin at the Washington Post.
With a little editorialization on the side. A little side dose.
Just a little bit.
Dominic Snark. You know, I'm looking at the beautiful Fox River, Oshkosh, Wisconsin comeback. More of the Devil's Advocates Radio Show live on the road. Call us, 844-96-PARTY.
I don't care what drug will work. Try a bunch of them.
I ain't gonna do it.
You can't. I mean, my involvement.
The Devil's Advocates. Never personal. Only politics.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Phone lines are open, 844-967-2789.
Dominic, a quick update. Daryl Brooks trial going on in Waukesha, where we've got one of our fine stations, WAUK, 540 AM. Brooks, the defendant representing himself, sought to have his case dismissed on day 16. That, of course, the Waukesha Christmas Parade trial. I think that will be an unsuccessful effort, Dom.
Good.
Good. 844-967-2789. Lindsey Graham, I do declare, the senator from South Carolina, reportedly was calling into the state of Georgia shortly before, what, the January 6th insurrection. And he has been putting off, depositions before a grand jury. And a court had ruled Lindsey Graham must give depositions before the grand jury. And then the singular Supreme Court justice with control over that district. What is that, the 8th district?
11th.
Oh, my bad. But the singular Supreme Court justice is the very corrupted and conflicted just as Clarence Thomas. Wasn't his wife Jenny part of the insurrection? How can he be the singular vote to make this rule?
Well, because the Supreme Court, Crudy, they don't have any sort of rules for them to not be involved in this, for them to stay away from these types of orders. And of course, Justice Clarence Thomas today, well, that's exactly what he did. He put his finger on the scale, according to the Washington
Post.
Big
fat dumb.
On Monday, he put a temporary hold on an order that Lindsey Graham appear before a Georgia grand jury investigating possible attempts by Trump and his allies to disrupt the 2020 presidential election. Now, let's just stop right there. As you mentioned, Curdy, his wife, Jenny Thomas, well, I would consider her one of those allies who attempted to disrupt the 2020 presidential election. How the hell can this guy, Clarence Thomas, be ruling on a case that involves his wife? Anyway.
You mean again?
Again. Right. Thank you for that.
Because, of course, he also was the one in the 8-1 ruling to try and shield the Mark Meadows text messages from release, and that included text messages
from
Mrs. Thomas.
Oh, you mean
Jenny.
Jenny.
Friends
Jenny.
Call her Jenny.
Yes.
I call her Mrs. Clarence Thomas.
Yes, Ms. Clarence Thomas. Ms. Justice Clarence Thomas. Thomas's brief order appears to be an attempt to maintain the status quo on Graham's petition to the Graham's petition to the Supreme Court advances. Prosecutors face a Thursday deadline for responding to Graham's request, which usually means the full court will consider the issue. Last week, a unanimous 3-judge panel of the U.S. Court of Appeals from the 11th Circuit turned down an attempt by Graham to block a subpoena from Fulton County D.A. Fani Willis, in which the lawmaker claimed a sitting senator is shielded from testifying in such investigations. A district court judge said Graham must appear, but narrowed the range of questions that the prosecutor can ask. Without a stay of the lower court's rulings, Graham's lawyer, McGann, told the Supreme Court in a petition filed Friday afternoon that Graham will suffer the precise injury he is appealing to prevent, being questioned in a state court about his legislative activity and official acts. Yeah, his legislative activity and his official acts. Was he acting in a legislative capacity, in an official capacity, when he was calling people in Georgia?
Dominic, news of another U.S. senator in regards to the January 6th. I found it at the Raw story. It must be true. United States Senator Ted Cruz, Republican from Texas, and other Republican lawmakers hold up in a closet during the January 6th, 2021 Capitol insurrection, according to excerpts from Cruz's new book obtained by Newsweek.
Now, why would you need to
he
do that?
Fast.
Why would you do that? I mean, right, according to Senator Johnson, the insurrection, I mean, peaceful protesters, they stayed within the velvet ropes, right?
Well, Senator Cruz was one of the ones objecting to the Electoral College count at the time. Here is what is stated in the book, Tom. Toward the end of our two-hour session, as Senator James Lankford from Oklahoma was speaking, there was a commotion from outside the Senate chamber. Cruz recalled the justice corrupted. Oh, he's corrupt. How the left weaponized our legal system.
Oh, I mean, come on.
See what he did there?
Yes, yes.
According to Cruz, suddenly Capitol police officers rushed in and hastily escorted the vice president off the dais. Shortly thereafter, we paused the proceedings. Little pause. Let's just put her on pause. In the fog of the confusion, it was difficult to tell what exactly was happening. We were informed that a riot had broken out and that rioters were attempting to violently breach the Capitol building. At first, now, let's not forget, they were already in the building before Mike Pence was taken from the Senate floor, my understanding. We were informed that a riot had broken out, and there had been a violent breach, or would be, at the Capitol building. At first, the Capitol police instructed us to remain on the Senate floor. And so we did. Then a few minutes later, they instructed us to evacuate rapidly. Cruz noted that he and fellow lawmakers were escorted to a secure location where tempers were high, and a handful of their colleagues were blaming us explicitly
yep.
for the violence that was occurring, as do I. My little editorializations, Dominic. Cruz also revealed that while we waited for the Capitol to be secured, I assembled our coalition in a back room, really a supply closet with stacked chairs, to discuss what we should do next. I don't know why Ted Cruz ever came out of that closet, Tom.
A couple of callers. Let's get to them before our pal Rick Smith joins us at the bottom of the hour. James from Appleton, you're up. Welcome, James. What do you got for us?
Hey, man.
Hey, guys. Backtracking a little bit to the Supreme Court. I have no idea why the Republicans are screaming about the possibility of packing the court. They've been doing it for the last 10 years, refusing to listen to testimony from Democrat-appointed Supreme Court nominees, a.k.a. Merrick Garland. And, oh, no, it's a year and a half until elections. We can't hear this now.
Until it's Amy COVID Barrett, James, and then they jam her in the last minute. Thanks for the call, man. The Republicans don't look for any sort of consistency in their criticism, James.
Last minute. It was like 8 days.
Oh, 8 days. Okay.
Come back with us live from Osh Vegas on the road again. Devil's Advocates doing it from the Air Support 98.3 studios. Rick Smith joins us live in studio from the Rick Smith Show. He's next. Stick around. The Happier Happy Hour rolls on.
The mood of the crowd was positive and festive.
The big and tall of political talk. The Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, live on the road, Osh Vegas, baby, here in beautiful Oshkosh, Wisconsin. We're looking at the Fox River. We're in the new Air Support 98.3 FM, 1100 AM WISS studios. And we've been joined here by a traveling man, a working man, a teamster. He's Rick Smith. He is the host of the Rick Smith Show. It plays right here on the Civic Media Network, 8 to 10 p.m. weeknights. Rick, man, welcome back to the Devil's Advocates. Welcome to our little Osh Vegas studios.
Hey, Rick.
Crute, my brother. Dom, my brother. This is a beautiful place. I love the fishbowl.
We are. Yeah, that should be the unofficial title.
I'm loving this fishbowl. I'm loving the view. Tweeted out a picture of it. This is fabulous. What you're doing here, amazing stuff.
I was watching a young guy pulling a fish out. I was hoping that wasn't a carp there before. Rick, you and I had a couple cocktails yesterday. You've been in the great state of Wisconsin. For those unfamiliar with Rick Smith and the Rick Smith Show, where's home for you, sir?
I live in central Pennsylvania. If anybody's ever heard the Carville statement of Pittsburgh on one end, Philadelphia on the other, and Alabama in the middle, I am in the heart of the Alabama section of Pennsylvania.
And how long have you been doing radio, Rick?
But doing this about 17 years now. Kicked off Labor Day 2005. And we've been growing and doing this show ever since.
And Rick, I suspect if you're playing out in rural Pennsylvania, a lot of your audience, maybe like Dom and I's audience, a lot of conservatives maybe out there in the fringes listening, putting an ear on, and occasionally want to pick a fight on the radio with you. You get some of that?
Absolutely. I mean, I'm in the heart of a red area, but what I find is, look, working people issues are bipartisan. You know, there are. When you're talking about health care, education, you're talking right. about good wages, yeah. you're talking about things. Once you take off the red hat or the blue hat, working people are on the same page. And we got to spend much more time talking to working people and getting them in their interest moving in a direction, which is what part of our Working Class Hero Tour has been about.
And Rick, how long have you been on the road, man?
We've been on the road. It's been like 26 days now. It's one's kind of going into the next, but we're on the other election day, the end of the tunnel.
Oh, man.
But look, you know, we've been going into all of these different places, and we've been having just incredible reception from working people who want to tell their stories and want to talk about what's important, not what's being force-fed to them by the mainstream corporate-controlled media. They want to talk about how their lives are going to get better. They don't care about bathrooms. They don't care about who's marrying who. They don't care about the stuff that's being force-fed to them, all the outrage candy that we're forced to consume. They're worried about their kids. They're worried about their communities. They're worried about how they're going to pay the bills. And that's where we should be spending a lot of our time talking about. My true north, I say all the time, is how do we make the lives of working people better? That should be the conversation.
Rick, you're a union-centric guy. You're a truck driver,
yep.
right?
Yeah, yeah.
How long you been the Teamsters?
I've been a Teamster over 33 years.
And you've told me, and you and I maybe have similar roots. We didn't come up from financial security. We both had sort of scattered shot upbringings. You characterize your own. I know mine was a little touch and go at times. But Rick, driving cross country, driving, you know, the routes, hauling the freight, really has provided a lifestyle for your family that maybe you were not accustomed to as a child.
No, I say all the time, I grew up in a housing project on the west side of Cleveland. I was the white kid in a black neighborhood. We used to play this neat game called Chase the White Kid and beat the crap out of him. I'm sure it was a fun game, just not for me.
Not for you, right?
But, you know, very early on, I learned that, you know, white and black didn't matter as much as green, because no matter what the color of our skin, we were both broke. And at the end of the month, there was no food in either of our cupboards. So as a young kid, when you saw the neighbor get a union job at Ford, immediately their lives got better. They had food at the end of the month. The kids got better clothes. They got secondhand bikes. They eventually moved up and out. So at a very young age, union job, better life was ingrained in me. So when I had the chance to get a union job, I got one. And the reality is I have lived a life that I could have never fathomed as a 10-year-old child. And I think about that kid growing up in that housing project that I grew up in. I want that kid to have the same opportunities I've had and better. And we should be fighting those battles, not what tears us apart.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. That's Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show, in studio with us in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. Rick, great to see you again, man. The union efforts these days seems to be coming back. You see what's going on with Starbucks, and you see what's going on with Amazon. So some of the younger workers seem to be embracing the union philosophy and the lifestyle, but at the same time, corporate America still seems to be corporate America. They're pushing back as hard as they can, seemingly, on union organizing. What's your take on union activity today with the younger folks?
Well, coming out of the pandemic, I think a lot of people internalized being called a hero and being essential and understanding that their work has value. And this whole I'm just happy to have a job kind of thing has kind of gone to the wayside. I think people are tired of being mistreated. I think they're tired of working for poverty wages. But we're in a weird spot, Dom, because you have all this activity of all these people who want to join and form unions. But our labor laws are so badly broken and so ossified that I think it's going to take a lot of the same stuff that my grandparents' generation had to do. A lot of people in the streets, a lot of uncomfortable moments, and a lot of pushing politicians into doing what's right. Look, I vote for Democrats because they're less harmful to workers right. than our Republicans. And I say all the time, and I wish there was a pro-labor Republican. There's not. In this moment, Republicans hate working people. Their policies play that out every single day, and I wish we had pro-union Republicans. There just aren't anymore. And I keep telling my working friends, push your party back to the sane line, because we need good policy again. But this is going to come back to us, you, me, our listeners, the people who work for a living, getting into the streets and demanding better. And I think we're going to start seeing that very soon. I think the young people have had enough. They've watched their parents have their pensions stolen. They've watched them, you know, be ground down to nubs. And they're saddled with a lifetime of student loan debt. They've had enough. And this next generation, much like my grandparents' generation, they're going to fight for it. Because
is this Rick? And I guess you kind of lead to my next question: is this really just this generation's turn? Right? I mean, yep. it seems like, you know, for me personally, you get kind of complacent. Oh, this is how it is. This is my environment. This is how it is since I've been alive, and this is how it's always going to be. And if nothing over the last 10 years, what I've seen is that no, that's not the way it is. There's constant forces all the time, and if you're not engaged in pushing and trying to get other people motivated to do the same thing, you're going to end up losing.
And I think the Republicans are going too far, to be honest. You know, they've gone way too far. In fact, we've got a Supreme Court right now that, you know, three quarters of the time they side with corporate America. When the Chamber of Commerce puts a brief in with anything, our Supreme Court decides with them. And they're moving us back towards the Lochner era, where if you were hungry enough and desperate enough to work for poverty wages in desperate and dangerous conditions, that's your liberty. That was your right.
That's your motivation.
But we had a legal system that said that was your right. That was your legal right. You had liberty of contract. So if you were willing to work 100 hours for a buck, you had the right to do that without understanding that that pulls all of us down. Yeah. So there were no maximum hour laws. There were no minimum wage laws. There were no safe working condition laws because of liberty of contract. And we're going back to that. You hear their rhetoric, only this time they've upgraded it. It's not liberty, it's freedom. You have the freedom to do this stuff, when the reality is your only freedom in this is to work for poverty wages in desperate conditions.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates. We've got Rick Smith. He is the host of the Rick Smith Show, plays out right here on Civic Media all across the network, 8 to 10 Central Time, weeknights. And Rick, you do a very union-centric show. And we here in the state of Wisconsin, Dom and I have been doing this show about a decade. And we often give credit or blame to Scott Walker. I like to call him the wanker. The act of dividing and conquering the public sector unions, first and foremost. And after, you know, he survived the recall and he claimed during his reelective campaign in 2014, well, I don't want to talk about right to work and it's not on my desk and it's on the back cabinet and the back burner. And of course, as soon as he won reelection, he signed it into law and he tried to use it as a propellant to a failed presidential campaign. But we seemingly led the downfall of unions, and Scott Walker certainly pushed forth this agenda. This wannabe Ronald Reagan undermined the unions, and we're down to like 6% union participation in the state of Wisconsin. The unions used to be the foot soldiers of the Democratic Party. Now, as I understand it, about 30% of those that remain in the unions, they've turned Trumpster.
No, he and this is part of what we've been talking to people across our travels on. He hit something that Democrats have ignored for a very long time. You know, you go into a place where a guy grew up in Cleveland. You go up and down Brook Park Avenue. There used to be the Ford plant, the Chevy plant, and hundreds of feeder plants where those were good union jobs that people supported. I look at my family, and I told you this last night. My family is the basket of deplorables. They're homophobic. They're racist. They're misogynistic. They've always been. That's their generation. That's what Cleveland was, a very segregated city. It's who they are. Never did they ever vote. Were never encouraged to vote, never bothered to vote, could care less about voting. But when Donald Trump said, hey, we're going to recreate that, we're bringing back the prosperity of Brook Park Avenue and all those union jobs, they registered to vote and they voted enthusiastically because they believed that he was going to bring that golden era back.
Do they still believe that, Rick?
No, they don't. And now they're back to not voting, my family. Yes. Because, look, they know they realized internally, they won't admit it, but they realized internally they were duped. Because they believed he was going to bring those jobs back that they lost in the 80s and 90s, those good-paying union jobs. And I say all the time, we don't necessarily want those factories back. We want the jobs back. We want the security that those union jobs brought us, the wages, the benefits, the health security. Look, my son, before I started this tour, had his appendix burst. You know what I did not think about for 1 second? I didn't think about, is this going to make me go broke? All I thought about is, how am I going to make my kid get better and what can I get from him? Because I've got the best health care you can possibly have. And that's because my Teamster union, they negotiate those benefits. And I don't have that worry. I want that for everybody. I want that for every working person. If you're dumb, if your kid gets sick, I want them to get the health care they need. Right. If you get sick, I want you to get the care you need.
Yeah, but you're different than Scott Walker. Scott Walker used that resentment, and he turned rural against urban. He turned, you know, people against teachers.
Yeah, but this is
he vilified the teachers.
Right, but this is where we've got to put that aside. We've got to bring people back together. We got to stop talking about all this fringe stuff and get back to the meat and potatoes, back to the jelly bucket stuff, back to what brings
us
back.
Tell me
more
about this jelly bucket, if you would. What is that? I've not heard that term. Tell me about it.
It's a lunchbox. Okay. You ever had a jelly bucket going to work with it? A ham and egger? You ever heard? No?
Well, no, okay. No, man. I guess that's... You must be talking in Pennsylvania vernacular. I'm here in Wisco vernacular. We always pack cheese curds for lunch.
Okay.
Well, or a ham and cheese.
Then your cheese bucket.
Or the former gubernator of the state of Wisconsin was somewhat famous for, you know, always taking a ham and cheese on white, the wanker.
Okay. There you go.
Rick, you talk about bringing people together.
Yeah.
We, Dom and I, take great umbrage with the fact that we're just trying to preserve democracy out here. And if one party doesn't believe in democracy, how do we support it? How do we, you know, lift it up and say small d democracy is what it's all about? And you know what? If you lose the game at the end of the game, you go home. The Packers fans should be used to it. It's happened to us about a decade straight. You know, what's your thought? How do we come together? Pardon me, gentlemen. If the other team doesn't believe in the outcome on the scoreboard.
Well, look, I believe their numbers are not as great as it's being propped up to be. And those people, you have to let them go. You have to just, those are fives, you have to let them go. We work on the people who want to move forward. You're never going to take an absolute Trumper and turn them back to sanity. We have to let them go. we've got to do the work that we can do to move forward and bring people together that are somewhat sane. The people who are going to say, no, the elections was stolen, no, Donald Trump's the president, got to let those folks go.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates. We got the finest of co-devils, I guess we'll call him. He is Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. He's joined us here in the Oshkosh Studios. Air Support, Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM, 1100 AM. The newest in the growing lineup of Civic Media stations. Rick will play out here just a little bit later if you stick around for his fine show. But we ain't done yet. The happier, happy hour, it's going to roll forward. And you can still be a part. Join us talking economics, talking unions, talking politics in Wisconsin. 844-967-2789.
I love this plan. I'm excited to be a part of it. Let's do it.
Occupy didn't start on Wall Street. It started on our street. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the last segment of the day. So if you got something to say, hit us up right now at 844-967-2789.
Dominic, the sun setting on beautiful Osh Vegas, and perhaps Ron Johnson's political career. We'll see. We'll see.
Can only hope.
We got a fine guest. He's in town. There is a little political forum going on at 6:30 tonight. My understanding, Ron Johnson's probably going to be a no-show. When we last heard from Ron, he is in Wausau avoiding his own backyard and the Devil's Advocates. I did reach out to his campaign. Otherwise occupied today, Dom. So we brought in a fine guest instead. We got Rick Smith, host of the Rick Smith Show. He plays out right here on the Civic Media Network. He originates from Carlisle, Pennsylvania. And Rick, we got some callers. But before we go there, I got to ask you, man, the race, the Fetterman-Oz race, obviously we want to win a greater Senate advantage, and I would hope that Fetterman's one of those pickups. I know you know the candidate, but they all change after they win the primary, don't they?
Yeah, they do. No, John's a good guy, and look, I think John's going to be the guy that I've known for the last 15 years. He's going to care about working people, and you know, him and his wife Giselle just have done an incredible work in Braddock, and the work that they've done as lieutenant governor. I know in the Senate, John will be fabulous.
Now, our own lieutenant governor, I saw earlier today, Mandela Barnes. You've interviewed Mandela.
Yep.
He seems like an obvious choice to us, and he had so much momentum coming out of the Democratic primary, but effectively the Dems cleared the field for him. And, you know, he took all the momentum out of the primary, and they, I think, had a little bit of hubris over at the campaign. They thought, you know, we're smooth walking right to the election day. And 6 weeks later, after god-awful millions of dollars in dark money flying in and effectively mischaracterizing the lieutenant governor and you know, accusing him of being god-awful black. That's the accusation. It's dog whistle politics at its worst, Rick, but it's working seemingly as we see independents falling away from Mandela Barnes. You talk about economics. Is there still a way to pull it back from the brink and win this race, do you think? Is it economic issues where the Dems are missing the electorate?
Well, look, on the Ron Johnson, you know, attacking Barnes for being black front, every ad that I've seen, right. Every ad that I've seen in this state is be aware of the black man,
yeah.
And are you safe?
He's different.
And, you know, someone's not keeping you safe.
He's radical.
And fear works. It motivates people. But I think when you start talking about, hey, we're going to help you make sure that your kids get the health care you need. We're going to help you get a job that you're going to lead a life that is positive. I think if you hit those kitchen table economic issues, I got to hope that people come around to it. The fear, if you're going to be afraid by that, I don't know how to fix that. But, you know, that kind of ad, we can put any person's name in across the country. They're doing the same thing to Fetterman in Pennsylvania, doing the same thing to Tim Ryan in Ohio. They're doing the same thing to every candidate. It's all about fear.
I think it's more effective, though, because we had the Waukesha Christmas Parade murderer who's on trial currently. And, oh, yeah, he's black and Mandela's black. And they keep throwing the two images up side by side and saying, you want more of that? Then vote for that. I mean, it's disgusting. It's Willie Horton 2.0. It's the Southern strategy at its worst. But apparently, it has impact. It's a little disappointing. This state voted for Obama like 58 to 72 counties. It's not that we won't support a black candidate here, but they didn't attack Obama on crime. Not like this.
Yeah, they still attacked. They still did the black man thing. But what he was talking about is hope and change. We're going to make your life better. We're going to make the future better. You know, people grabbed onto that positivity of tomorrow is going to be better than yesterday was. That positivity of you're going to lead that American dream, that if you work hard and play by the rules, you're going to get ahead. I got to believe that for me is the way forward. I'm not going to do fear and smear and all of that. I want to make my true north is how do we make the lives of working people better?
Well, Barack Obama is coming to Milwaukee. He's coming here on behalf of Mandela Barnes and incumbent Democratic Governor Tony Evers. And we don't exactly know the venue, but he's coming to Milwaukee approximately 1 till 6 o'clock, sort of like the cable guy. They gave us a window.
Yeah.
Planned for that.
Right.
But Barack Obama, I mean, if the Democrats have a closer, he's the closest thing to a closer. Yeah. Do you think that matters?
Yeah, I think having him come out is going to motivate a large segment of the Democratic base to energize them, because I fear that the energy, not so much there, because we've been beaten down with fear, been beaten down with all of the inflation talk. I think you got to talk about how we're going to make things better, how we're going to move forward, how we're going to fight inflation and make people, workers' lives better.
Rick, the low propensity voters in the state of Wisconsin, we talk about them turning out for Donald Trump. These never voted before, but they did. They actually got woken up in the recall election of Scott Walker.
Yeah.
And they've remained activated, and they've been sheep that have been lied to constantly, but somehow they've kept them engaged by telling them the election was rigged,
yeah,
and some teacher got it better than you did, so let's hate him.
Continuing to feed him the outrage. But here's the wild card in this election that I don't know how it's going to go. Young women are angry.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I have young women sending me emails saying Rovember is coming. And, you know, we'll see. If they come out in large numbers, this could be 2016 again, only on the other side. Because I think we underestimated my family coming out of the woodwork and
right.
voting.
Yeah.
Just like I think we're underestimating young women coming out and voting.
844-967-2789. Just a couple minutes left with our pal, Rick Smith. Joanne from Madison, Europe. Welcome, Joanne. What do you got for us?
Hey, Joanne.
Hi, great show. I've got a quick question for Rick about teachers. Teachers have been phenomenal in terms of unionizing, and they've been strong and doing great political things. And I'm just wondering, though, is that why they're getting attacked and just trashed, especially by our Republican friends? Or are there some other reasons why teachers are getting this bad treatment?
No, thank you for the question. I think it's all of the above. I think the teachers are doing an incredible job. I love my teacher friends. They are the heroes that we said they were during the pandemic, and thank goodness that they do the work that they do. But understand, the right wants to destroy public education, have always wanted to destroy public education, and privatize and profitize education. So for me, the attack on teachers is predictable, because in order to tear down public education, you have to tear down the heroes and the people that we look up to in public education. And those are the wonderful people who stand at the front of those classrooms.
Rick Smith, so great to have you in studio here in Oshkosh. I believe you're going to the SEIU event in Milwaukee tomorrow. We're going to broadcast it, the Earl Ingram Show. Earl will be at a Mandela Barnes SEIU event. We're going to broadcast it live on WAUK 540 AM. And then Dom and I will be partying at one of Hawk's finest neighborhood bars. We're going to the Atomic Koi. We're doing a little bar party, live broadcast, 4 to 6, Victory Over the Man Party to follow. And Dominic, we've also got second CD incumbent, my congressman, Mark Polkan, on Thursday. It's going to be a big week. We got Glenn Youngkin in town, Republican. We've got Elizabeth Warren in town. We got Bernie Sanders in town. And come Saturday, we got Barack Obama in town. Woo. Biggest week of the year. Rick Smith, glad you were a part of it. Live from Las Vegas, baby. We'll do it again real soon.
Thanks, Rick.
Thanks, guys.
I have recently been placed in charge of garbage. Do you have any that requires disposal?
I don't know, but I'm suspicious.